Good morning, everybody. Have a couple of prayer requests that want to address real quick before we get into our lesson. First of all, thank you for our visitors. We've got I think our visitors maybe outnumber our regulars today. We're glad to have you and feel very honored that you came to worship with us. And like to welcome you back whenever you get a chance. Deborah Webster has sent a card in saying, please pray for me and my family. Deborah's going to be leaving Wednesday to go to down to San Diego. Her son Nathaniel is graduating from Marine boot camp. And so what a great thing that is. Be sure and thank him for all of us, for the service and the hardship that he's doing for our great country. And she also says, please pray for, is it Mark Armstrong? He's been having some back issues, and a friend of hers, Thelma French, who's having some home issues, and Deborah's requested prayers for them. Also, Kathy has thanked us for the prayers that we've offered on behalf of her daughter-in-law, Sue. She's been sick recently with COVID, and she is getting better, almost back to normal. And she ends her message with, God certainly answers our prayers. Amen to that. And another wonderful note, Niger Allen is identifying with us, is wanting to be associated with us here at South Valley. And we welcome you with open arms and glad that you have chosen of the many congregations in town that you have decided to work and worship with us. We're thankful of that. Let's go to God in prayer real quick before we get into our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. You give us such wonderful and rich lives. Please forgive us for the things that we do wrong. We want to be able to approach your throne with clean hands and clean hearts. Dear God, we ask a special request right now that you be with Deborah as she goes to California this week to be able to witness and participate in her son Nathaniel's graduation from the Marine Corps boot camp. We're thankful for Nathaniel. We're glad that he's made it through safe, and we ask that you continue to be with him as he for his length of service serving our country. Dear God, we also ask that you be with her friend Mark and her friend Thelma. Be with them. Strengthen them and encourage them. Dear God, we also are thankful for Kathy's daughter-in-law, Sue, who is getting better from being sick with COVID. We're thankful for that. Our desire is that she will continue to get continually stronger and healthier and not have any ill effects from being sick with COVID. Dear God, we're so thankful for the visitors that we have here. The location that we have is very good. But in addition to location, we hope that our congregation itself is a light to the community. We hope that when we do have visitors, that they see your word being preached, your word being preached through the activities and the behavior of the members here. We're so thankful for Niger deciding to identify with us, and we hope that we will be as a good of encouragement to her as she will be to us. Dear God, thank you for all the blessings that you give us. We ask that you please be with us as we continue our lesson, as we open your word and study it. And we pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen. If you would open up your Bibles to Mark, the fourth chapter. That is where the bulk of our lesson is going to be taken from today. I don't know, a few months ago when Preston was teaching his class on Mark, we went through this and just some things stuck with me, and I couldn't get away from them. You know, I know some of you are like that. You'll start chewing on something, and it just you can't get away. And you're looking forward, backwards, and so forth. And in this passage, there are two questions that the disciples are asking, and it starts off in verse 35. It says, on the same day when evening had come, if we go back earlier, we see that Jesus had been doing a number of teachings. He had been teaching in some parables. Parables are examples to compare things to. A good teaching method. He's getting ready to give them not just a parable, a real life application. Not just a parable, a story about something. They're going to live through and experience something that not a lot of people got to see. It says, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. This issue was brought up in Preston's class, and I don't want to, stay on this real long. They're going to cross over to the other side of the body of water, but in a lot of ways, they're crossing over to the other side of faith. They had been seeing some things and hearing some teachings of Jesus, and they're getting ready. When they get in that boat, they're going to be crossing over to a whole nother dimension of faith that they're witnessing. One, it's affecting them personally. Let's continue reading. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. The other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was great calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this be that even the wind and sea obey him? In this short passage of exchange here, we see a tremendous event taking place. In fact, so few people got to actually witness this. But the impact it's going to have on them. I'll go back for a second. It said there, verse 41, and they feared exceedingly. They feared exceedingly, not only because of the storm, but because of the presence of who they were with. What kind of guy can do this? Jesus was with fishermen. Is this the first storm they'd ever been on out in this body of water? They knew it like the back of their hand. This must have been a bad storm for them to be scared. These are people that had lived in rough waters. Let's look at this first question in verse 38. Do you not care that we are perishing? You've got to be kidding me. They wake Jesus up. He's tired. They wake him up, and he's looking at him, and the first thing out of their mouth, they're rattling, do you not care that we are perishing? He probably just shakes his head at him. What do you mean, do I not care? Why am I here? It doesn't say this in this passage. He left his Father in heaven to be crucified. A horrible execution. So they won't perish. Do you not care that we are perishing? Of course, they're talking apples, he's talking oranges. But they're asking because of the storm, do you not care that we are perishing? If we look back earlier in Mark, we see so many things just in the first three and up in chapter four so far that helps set the stage for this event. In Mark, the first chapter, in verse 38, it says, but he said to them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. Because for this purpose, I have come forth. His purpose was to go and preach to people about the kingdom of God, about salvation, so they don't perish. This was his whole purpose, is to get that word out there to as many people as he could. And they're asking him, do you not care? What did they witness so far in their experience with Jesus? Did they experience a man that gave one iota of not caring? Did they ever see one example of him not caring about them or other people? His whole existence was, his whole existence on earth was because he cared about them not perishing. He gave his life for that. The next question in verse 41, after he calms the sea, after he says, hush, be still, wonder who he is talking to. Was he talking to them or the sea? It kind of hushed both of them. It calmed the water, but it stopped them dead in their tracks. At the word of Jesus. There again, why shouldn't it have the sea stopped? By word, the heavens and earth were created. He had been with God from the beginning. He was with God at the creation. When God spoke the world into existence, now, why can't he tell the wind and the waves, be still? And those in the boat with him, you're yipping and yapping about this and that. Hush, be still. I got this. Why are you worried? I got it under control. Hush, be still. But they ask, who can this be? Who is this guy that even the wind and the sea obey him? Back in Mark, the first chapter, they see some testimony about who this guy is. When he was baptized by John the Baptizer, afterwards it says, then a voice came from heaven. You are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Some of the people that witnessed his baptism were in that boat with him. They heard a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son. That's who he is. Who is this guy? How about, for starters, he's my beloved son. By the way, I'm God. That's who's talking. And I'm well pleased with him. Later in that chapter, as he was preaching in the synagogue, it says, and they were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. He's going to use that authority to calm the wind and the waves. Not just authority as a man. You know, somebody in a uniform, if somebody with a name tag, with some authority tells you to do, you know, they've got authority. They've got the uniform of a person in authority. They've got the name tag of somebody in authority. They were astonished at his teachings. He taught differently than the other religious leaders. And they were astonished at that. Why shouldn't they be? This is my beloved son. He's the Son of God. The very next two verses, it says, now there was a man in their synagogue while he was teaching with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. A man with an unclean spirit knew the answer to the question the disciples asked in the boat. People that had traveled by this time with Jesus quite a bit. The same question, who is this guy? A man with an unclean spirit in the synagogue knew who he was. You're the Holy One of God. Verse 30 and 31. But Simon's wife's mother, Peter's mother-in-law, lay sick with a fever. And they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately, not take two tablets and call me in the morning if it doesn't change. Not put this poultice and put it in. No. Immediately, the fever left her, and she served them. They witnessed this. When they asked that question in the boat, who is this guy? How many times has he told them? Through the words of others, through his actions, through his behaviors. They should know loud and clear who this guy is. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. They knew who he was. But yet the disciples in the boat, who is this guy? In the second chapter of Mark, immediately he rose up, talking about healing a lame man in verse 12. Immediately he rose up, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." The best doctors in the land could not do what Jesus had just done. Not your family physician, not the famed specialist. Jesus healed him. Verse 27-28. And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." It's putting Jesus kind of in a position of authority, equal to God. That's what so many of the scribes and Pharisees had troubles with, was that this Jesus guy, in spite of the healings, in spite of the testimonies, that people were equating him with God. In the third chapter, verse 7, "But Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea and Jerusalem and Idumea and beyond the Jordan, and those from Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they heard how many things he was doing, came to him. The word was going far and wide of the things Jesus had done, his teachings, his healings. And people wanted to be part of it. They were bringing their loved ones. So they were just wanting to see it. So when the disciples ask, "Who is this guy?" people from all over the countryside were already aware of it. Or else they wouldn't be bringing their loved ones to be healed. Mark 3:11. "And the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, 'You are the Son of God.'" They get it. What was it, Foghorn Leghorn? "Boy, I say, boy, I was pitching and you ain't a catching." Jesus had been pitching it for a long time. The unclean spirits figured it out. They saw it. The crowds saw it. They're flocking to Jesus. "Heal my daughter. I've got a crippled leg. Heal that." They're coming from all over. And these are some of the same people in the boat that had been at Jesus' baptism and heard God. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Do you not care? That was Jesus' whole purpose. Leaving the side of his Father in heaven, taking on, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Do you not care? He gave his life because of that, because he cares. Do you not care that we're perishing? He gave us a way to avoid perishing. Who can this be? In just a handful of verses, you heard from God himself, unclean spirits, the crowds, and those that followed Jesus, it was kind of going over their heads. I don't feel so dumb sometimes. You know, if the disciples that were with him, if they miss it sometimes, maybe there's hope for me. These are two questions every one of us have probably asked at one time or another. Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care about what I'm going through? About the trials in life? About what's going on at home or in the workplace or with health or finances? Don't you care? And who can this be? Before we were baptized, every one of us had asked ourselves that question. If we didn't and didn't come to a satisfactory answer, why be baptized if you're not sure who Jesus is? If you're not sure that he's the Son of God and forgives us of our sins, you just got wet. If we can be, the lesson's yours. If you have not put your Lord on in baptism, he cares for you. He came to save you from perishing. And by following him, you're following the Son of God. That's who this can be. Who can this be? The Son of God, who brought us salvation. If you need prayers, if you need to repent of sin, I'll do it tomorrow. We may not be given tomorrow. Whatever your need, if we can be of service to you, come forward while Kurt leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.